And I expect Ray to call him that when he's calling games for ESPN.
He's in between the benches. He says that. I mean, that's going to be an unbelievable atmosphere. It's just going to be a smaller building.
It will be a great atmosphere. There's a glass half full for you.
Yeah.
Nothing but positivity on this Monday.
Yeah.
Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. I'm sure that surprises you, Ray. We're very positive up here. Everyone's in a very good mood.
Actually, shocked. I didn't expect this tone, especially from you, Hayes.
Yeah.
Like, I thought you'd be out with, like the teeth, the fangs out, and, you know, like, that's what I was expecting.
I was last hour. I've cooled down between 4:55 and 5 p.m. because it's a new hour. It's a new kind of a lease on life, and it's crazy, right? Like, the four of us have been talking about this team, the Leafs, forever. Yeah. You know, you and I have done more radio hits than I swear any other duo in the history of sports radio.
It's been a lot, man. We've been
at the station for 11 years doing postmortems, and every single time afterwards we bring you on and I ask you what the hell just happened, and I guess we'll start there. Like, how do you explain the Leafs losing again, and what is a reasonable reaction to being back in the same position they have been for six straight years?
Well, it does feel certainly different that this year, that as opposed to the past little bit, right? Like, the one series I think we talked about this, was like, man, like, what if you get in against Tampa and Vasilevsky throws a 52 saver up? Well, he didn't have 52, but he was the difference. It's not that Campbell was bad. He was the difference. He's just, you ran into the one guy you don't want to run into. And, you know, I don't know. Like, what else was Toronto going to do? I mean, I guess their power play, their power play could have been better. Right? They could have been more disciplined at times. But the things we always complained about, we wanted them to compete harder, wanted them to be more aggressive, wanted them to hang in tight and tough games, they did all of that. They just didn't win.
Yeah, that's what we talked about, Ray, how regardless of how different people think it is or was, the result is still the same. And Hayes stayed up very late at night to come up with a philosophy, and you're going to be shocked how actually smart this sounds, because the synergy between the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Raptors, he talked about Masai Ujiri, and the idea of him sending a jolt through the locker room and not letting people get comfortable. Apparently, the players loved Wayne Casey. He removed him from this scenario. DeMar DeRozan was Kyle Lowry's best friend. He said, you know what, we're not going to trade you. 24 hours later, he was dealt. And Hayes described that, we're calling it Joltgate. That's what he described as, you know, getting people to wake up and understand you're not allowed. Maybe not the word you're not allowed, or not the phrase you're not allowed to feel comfortable, but it's like what you're doing is not good enough and things are going to change.
Well, I have not bought to your, you know, to your statement, which is shocking. That came from Hayes, by the way.
His dad did it, but go ahead.
I'm reading a lot about, you know, because it was better, and, you know, like, they shouldn't do anything, and they got more respect in the handshake line. Like, who the hell cares?
Oh, God.
That was a tough comment.
Can you believe that comment?
Like, that to me, like, I think Sheldon's really smart. I really do. And I think he's a good coach.
Mm-hmm.
But that to me smelt of self-preservation.
That was a bogey there.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. And so I do look at their team, and I go, like, how do you think they're going to be better next year? Like, how are they going to be better? They can't sign Mikheyev.
No.
What do you think he's going to get this year, this summer? Somebody's going to overpay for a really good player, but it's going to be out of the Leafs' budget. Like, could they bring Giordano back? Do you want to bring Giordano back?
Yeah.
Like, he's at $3.3 million, right? Like, you're not going to play for free.
There's a lot of work to do with $6 million available, Ray.
Right, and so how are they going to be better? Like, Jack Campbell is going to eat up a lot of that.
Right.
Right? Like, you know, what, I don't even know, I couldn't even hazard a guess what that number would be, but it's certainly going to be more than 1.65.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't pay him six, and I can't afford to pay him six.
No, I kept thinking, I don't know how you guys feel, but you always look at comparables. I don't, he's not a standalone one, right? He's not a 65-game starter, so he doesn't fall into Hellebuck's money. It's, to me, it's more Robin Leonard's deal, which is five.
Why does it have to be a deal? With, why do you have to marry yourself to Jack Campbell? You look what Carolina did. They had a hell of a team last year. They walked away from both of their goals.
Well, I understand.
And said, we're just
and
not doing
it. Look where they are now.
Here's the other thing.
Next round.
They are married to Peter Mrazek for the next 2 years at 3.8, unless they can package that situation up.
Well, who's lining up for that?
Well, those are decisions and things that need to be dealt with in the offseason. It's not just, you know, Spezza and Giordano and Mikheyev. You know, it's the shape of the group. And coming back, I'll bring it back to what you said, Brian. Are you going to roll back the same core, or are you going to send a jolt through there and maybe look at something different and maybe bring back a different player if you move somebody out, a different dynamic of a player?
Okay, and so here's the thing, like, to get right to the brass tacks. It's not Matthews. It's not Marner. It cannot be Tavares because he's not going to go anywhere. So you're right back to the same guy again.
Right.
If you're going to throw a jolt into the room, like, who else could it be?
What about the coach?
Well, that, now, I'm sure everybody's noticed that Barry Trotz doesn't have a job and Pete DeBoer doesn't have a job. And, you know, there's lots of quality people that are just kind of lurking around here.
Mm-hmm.
Could it be that? Sure, but does that really feel like, to me, that doesn't feel like a Dubas move right now. Like, that would be his first move. Yet, I did find the timing interesting that DeBoer got fired a week after Trotz got fired.
Yeah.
Like, I found that timing kind of interesting. Oh, look who's available.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think a lot of people will look at their coaches differently depending on who's on the market or not. And there's some really great guys that are out there. But to change the coach, that's a jolt. Because, they have 110 points. They played a hell of a series, and they didn't win.
Yeah.
Well, that's it, right? Like, it's not that you look at the team. We all said this in the previous hour. We said it all year. They're not a team you dislike. They're not a team that disrespects the history of the team or the city or the fan base. They're not guys that, you know, are doing dumb things and showing up late for practice. It's, by all accounts, not a poisonous room, which I think makes it more difficult because I think you're probably looking at it thinking, we're a good team. We put together a good team. I don't dispute they're hungry for success, and yet it just continues to be the exact same result. And we're talking a pretty significant amount of, like, sample size here.
Right.
Where
right.
If you include the coach, that's 3 years. That's Columbus, Montreal, Tampa with Keefe, the big four up front, Morgan Riley, Jake Muzzin on the back end, and the last two with Brody. Like, so you're talking four forwards, three defensemen, and a coach where you've had, you know, ample opportunity to prove that you can overcome it, and it just hasn't happened. And you're also dealing with a different dynamic, I think, for the first time in Shanahan's reign here, where I do wonder where ownership comes into play on the marketability of this team coming out of a pandemic where everyone's lost a fortune. And, you know, they've always been untouchable. They've always sold out. They've always made a fortune. Feels a little bit different. Like, it feels like apathy's got a little bit more of a chance to actually grab hold. And as much of a jolt to the room as needed, maybe I could see ownership saying, we kind of need a jolt so the fans won't roll their eyes at us anymore.
Well, you know what? That's a really great point because when you come back next year, we've said this I don't know how many years in a row, whatever they do in the regular season doesn't matter.
Right.
Well, next year it really doesn't matter. You got to get to April 15th before anybody gives a damn.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, you got to play 82 games, and it's got to be interesting, and you've got to win, and you've got to, you know, you've got to take a, you know, whatever the next step is. You can't even take it till April.
Well,
and if you show up with the same characters, how's the book going to be any different?
And I added to it, Ray, the scary part is there's no guarantee that everyone's going to have their best seasons again next year. You know, look at Winnipeg. You know, we liked Winnipeg on paper at the start of the season, and, you know, the wheels fell off. Like, it just didn't fit. The goaltender wasn't as consistent, you know, Scheifele and Wheeler injuries and COVID and all sorts of things, and all of a sudden they missed the playoffs by a couple points. And I'm not suggesting that's where the Leafs head, But not everything's going to be a perfect, hey, we're going to get 115 points, and Matthews is going to rip home 60, and Marner's going to get close to 100 points.
It
and
could Nylander. Be a grinding year.
Well, right it just there. Could be a different looking year. And then everyone's a year older. You know, what's Tavares going to look like a year later with a little bit more mileage on him? And you know,
Noodles, I was in Boston or in Carolina on the weekend.
Yeah.
I'm watching the Bruins, and I'm like, it feels like that window is shut.
Right.
Like, that's what it feels like. Like, if Patrice Bergeron retires, how are you replacing that? Like, how are you replacing him?
Right.
And so they will have some money, but then you got to replace them. Their second and third lines gave them nothing. Like, zero.
Yep.
And so, like, the Bruins are not going forward. They're going backwards. One of these years, Tampa's going to get tired. I mean, I think we saw some signs of it now. Like, all the extra games compacted into tight windows with COVID and all that stuff, they're going to run out of gas. One of these times, they're just going to, you know, Vasilevsky, you're going to say, yeah, he's the best goalie in the world, and it's not going to matter. Like, one of these times. Florida's going to run into, you know, into cap issues here. They, unfortunately, God, that bugs me. We keep saying that about every good team.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, they're going to have to throw some guys overboard this year, after this season. And so everybody's got their own little dance they've got to play. But if it feels wrong, I don't know that you can be so patient anymore. Because you're only so many years you're going to be around that top group. Toronto's around the top group. Like, it's not enough. So what can be different? Because, you mentioned the good player or the players maybe not hitting career years. You're going to have to subtract some guys. And, yeah, so you go find another Andre Kasha for $1 million bucks or $1.2 million and hope he can do what Ilya Mikheyev can. And it probably won't. So you back up a bit. Is Michael Bunting going to do this again next year? I don't know. He barely played in the league until this year.
Right.
It's pretty hard to project. Oh, yeah, it's going to be more growth for him. Is Matthews going to get 62 or 52 next year? What's Marner going to... Like, you can just go down all of them and go, man, so many people had really great years, and then you get right to the end, and it's the same thing.
Ray, you just said if it feels wrong. I've always said if it feels wrong, I don't want to be right. Go ahead, Hazel.
that frightens me on so many levels, though.
You have no idea. We're in a room with this guy. We just heard him say it. He was staring at me while he said it, too. Put yourself in this room. It doesn't even have to apply to the Leafs, but if you're in a situation where your team keeps losing, publicly, you know what they're going to say tomorrow. You know, it's going to be the same mea culpa. It's going to be the same commentary. It's going to be the same, I hope they give us a chance to go back on it. How much self-awareness do you have as a player, though, when you're in that room? In other words, do you think there's a chance there are Leafs, Bruins, Penguins, Capitals, just using the teams in the East, sitting there saying, we're not good enough, or we need something different, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, do you think there's a chance, regardless of what they're going to say publicly, that maybe privately they realize that there's a real problem?
Well, I think that goes to where you sit on the roster. The really good players can acknowledge that they're not quite good enough. Like, the good players can acknowledge that. The guys that are in the middle to the lower part of the lineup, the ones that are really probably going to get traded out or changed out, you don't even want to accept that in your own mind, because it might be you.
Right.
Right.
The guys, if you can go through that lineup, if you pulled up the roster card and you could go, these are the guys that potentially are in trouble. First of all, start with all the contracts, and you can figure out in a hurry who might or might not be back. And then you go, okay, so we've got those 10 guys or whatever it is. But then after that, if they're going to make changes, who can it be? And you have to acknowledge you're not good enough because you didn't get out of the first round again. Like, that's great. You had a great year. That's awesome. But you didn't get out of the first round. So there are people in all those rooms, I'm sure, thinking, geez, I hope we get one more crack at it. I hope we get another crack. Stanley Cup champions trade or change out 20% of their roster most of the time. Like, look what Tampa did last year. They won. They had cap stuff. They move some people out. They bring in Nick Paul. They bring in Brandon Hagel. Ross Colton becomes a regular. Like, those are all guys that weren't there at the start of last year. And it's going to happen for whoever wins this year, and it's certainly going to happen for those that didn't win.
You mentioned the Bruins a moment ago. Generally, it's about the window closing. Let me phrase it this way. Whose window is most open? Is it Boston, Washington, or Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh still.
Even with all the UFAs and stuff, like, they got a big offseason.
Because don't forget, Malkin's going to... I'd be stunned if Malkin's back.
Really?
Yes. I'll be stunned. Like, what's he going to do, play for $4 million? Not a chance.
And he probably wants term, too.
So here's the other thing that cannot be discounted. They have new owners.
Mm-hmm.
The owners own, like, the Fenway Group. They own the Red Sox. I've been a Red Sox fan since 1975. One of my favorite players in those 40 years has been Mookie Betts. He now plays in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
Because they said, nope, too much money, too much allocated to one guy, off he went. Like, they're going to have zero connectivity to the loyalty of what the older guys have done.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'd like to bring Letang back, Crosby, Rust. Well, Crosby's coming back, but right. Letang, Rust, those are the priorities.
Interesting. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that team is good. I think that team is good. I really do. Like, they're hard to play against. They're like, man,
they got a hell of a coach too. Like, Pat Sullivan can coach. Like,
man, I'm telling you, Noodles, we talked to him a lot during this series, and each time I walked away, I was like, man, that guy is impressive.
He's
smart.
Yeah.
Like, I think they do a really good job there. So the trick will be once they free up the money for the guys they don't sign. And again, I have no inside. It just strikes me as Malkin's not, that is the one of the big group. So that money can be reallocated somewhere else, somewhere a little younger, somewhere a little quicker. Like, Malkin doesn't, you know, he had pretty major knee surgery, and as I watched him, he didn't have the pop he used to have when he skated. So, but of the three, I think Washington, what are they going to do in goal? They're getting old. They're getting long in the tooth. Doesn't sound like Nick Backstrom's going to play, you know, or is really going to have to make a decision whether he can play. You know, so that's another guy out of their lineup.
Yeah,
right.
I,
like, it doesn't go fast, but the end goes fast.
Yeah, it happens very quickly. Malkin on that breakaway that he scored on, he looked like Forrest Gump breaking out of the stilts. Like, he tried
to get going.
Well, and he banked it to himself and ended up scoring. It was a great play. But I wanted to ask you, I'm not sure if you were working the game, but did you see the look on Sullivan's face when Louis Domingue allowed that goal with about a minute and a half left?
Oof.
No, I was not working that. And I when that thing went up in the air, it must have... On the bench, it must have felt like 5 minutes when it hit him and went up in the air. But the story...
Not the best.
Not the best.
Not the best. So the story was awesome and all that, but, like, he's the third guy.
Right.
Like, how did you... It wasn't going to end. If he had to keep playing, that was five games in a row.
Yeah.
Like, he would have, you know, like, that's not, there is no plan for your third string goalie to play five straight games.
Yeah.
And he kind of hung in there, except if you look at it, aside from the great story, he gave up four goals in every game.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was kind of an important stat.
I love how when he gave up that goal, he immediately looks at the defenseman like, what's your problem?
It was Jeff Carter behind
him. Was it Carter?
Jeff Carter could not even look him in the eye.
I know, he turned around.
He was like, I can't even look at you right now. It was going dead at him and in his blocker and shot straight. I don't even know how.
It's one of the worst goals you could. It was a flick shot from the blue line.
Yeah,
it was,
that's the series right there.
But, not the best.
Not the best for Louis.
Not the best. Yeah,
and he, the one I did see was when Rodriguez took that bad penalty and Sullivan threw a dagger through him.
If he had laser beams coming out of his eye, he would have exploded Rodriguez.
The one where he cross-checked a guy and he was out of frustration. My God, was he mad. But he was back out on the ice quickly. I was shocked he threw him back out on the ice.
Oh, I'm sure you would had a moment like that where as you're coming to the bench, you feel the lock in from the coach.
Ray, the best is
you try to look away and you're like, and then you take that quick peek because you know, okay, he's probably turned away and he's still staring at you.
Every player that goes to the penalty box, and you and Jamie know better than anyone because you're at ice level, they'll always look like they're looking at the guy in the penalty box, but they're horse-eyeing what the coach is doing on the bench to see how mad he is. Every single guy, if you look, they'll be like, I'm going to tie my skates and then I'm going to do a quick little look-up horse-eye, and he's got a death stare at you.
Yeah, there's no escaping that. He's going to lock right in. So they were, I don't know, that to me was as interesting a series because of the swings in it, right? The ups and the downs of it. But that's going to hurt. That's a tough loss for Pittsburgh because it is the end of the, you know, 16 straight years they've been in the playoffs. And it's, you know, honestly, it's over. It's going to be, it's not going to look like that ever again there.
Yeah. We'll get you out of here on a Battle of Alberta breakdown. How do you see this one playing out?
Oh, I think Calgary's better. I think they're deeper. I can't believe they had to play as long against Dallas as they did. But that, like, Ottinger was like that. That's as good a goaltending performance as I can remember in a long time. Brilliant. I think Calgary's going to beat them in, I think I picked six games. No, seven. I think I took them seven back home. I just think they got a little too much depth, and if Dreisaitl's not quite at 100, you know, that's crushing for them.
It's a big hit. Yeah, the Dreisaitl storyline is huge between now and game one. You know, where he's at, if he can recover whatsoever. But it's 30
years
in the
making. What's interesting about it, though, right now, as I'm thinking, is like, so right now, Mike Smith's a hero.
Yeah, shutout, a 40-year-old in game seven.
Yeah, but just think of how quickly it goes for him. He gives up two bad goals. He's the worst goalie in the league, and Ken Holland's an idiot. Mm-hmm. And then they win in game seven, and they're like, oh, this team's put together. Look at their depth, and oh, what a goaltender. Like, there's no fan base that swings faster and more passionately, I don't think, than Edmonton.
Well, there's one here that's kind of...
I don't think they... Not the swings, though.
Well,
like, they go like...
You know what? You're right. Like, Ken Holland, I don't think, has social media. But, like, Duncan Keith will come around the net and just have one little giveaway. And it's like, that idiot signed this guy or traded for him. And, like, Ken Holland trends twice a week. But yet, their team, yes, I mean, 97 was possessed game six and seven.
Unreal, eh?
So
unreal.
You've got the golden goose that may just drag you through.
You're into the second round.
Yeah.
Right? You don't have to explain yourself. You move on and you see what happens.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Great catching up with you. We'll do it again soon.
Yeah, I got home yesterday from Raleigh. You know, it's not short, Raleigh to Vancouver. There's no direct flights.
No.
And home today, turn around, right back to Raleigh tomorrow.
No way.
Yeah, back to the house that O built.
Yes. Say hi to everyone down there for him.
You know what? Oh, each game they have somebody do the siren thing. You should come down there.
Ray, I did that one time.
How'd your shoulder come out?
Me and a military guy, which they pay respect to the military down there, we're out at center ice doing it. And I said to him, I go, look, bud, I really don't want to be hammering on that thing. You can rev up that whatever the hell it is, an engine horn. I go, I'm not touching that. And we both almost went down at center ice on the carpet because the carpet was swaying and I had a massive boiler and it was just an absolute disaster. And they didn't have anybody stepping on the carpet to make it secure. And me and the guy from the military almost... It was almost a...
It would have been great.
Oh, two God, it was wheels. Almost... It was my worst nightmare. I'm like, okay, we're going out there with this massive engine horn thing, and we're going down.
Yep.
And it almost happened.
You survived. Well, there you go,
Well,
Ray.
I think they should bring you in. If this goes deeper, I think they should bring you back. I'd like to see it.
I agree.
I don't think so. That would require paying for a plane ticket. They don't want to do that.
May not happen. Maybe we can jump on with you at some point.
Oh, I'd love to. Oh, you got to come on. They'd pay for it. They got sellouts all the time now.
Yeah, they're loaded down there. New owner.
New owner.
There you go.
Deep pockets.
Don't get me started on that. We'll chat later, pal.
Later on, buddy, boys. Have a good one. Great to talk to you. Hope you're all good.
Yep. You too, buddy. There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's red tag days. Visit MapleToyota.com.
You imagine van and then back to Raleigh the next day?
And he said there's no direct flight. No, so he's flying to Chicago.
Chicago or Houston, probably. One of the two.
Houston, south, too.
So south and then over. Like, depending on what airline you're going through. You might go through Denver.
Maybe flies to Toronto, possibly, if you're in Vancouver.
Yeah, you might go Toronto and down. That's probably the most direct.
That's insane, though. Toronto, for one day. I don't know.
That's a big commitment.
You want to see your kids? You want to see your family? Change your underwear out?
Yeah, I guess that's one way of looking at it.
Burn them.
Yeah. Ray, heading back down. So there you go. Carolina, New York.